Tonight, I want us to look at the biblical doctrine, focusing on election, the biblical doctrine of election. Now, we're hearing enough about elections right now and everybody wanting to hold new elections and everything else. This election focuses on the elect of God, or who are God's elect. Now, interestingly enough, let me remind you, there are two terms that we see and read in Scripture, but we only read it from according to the particular translation that you're looking at. Those two words are predestined, and elect, or the election of God's elect. Now, interesting enough about those two words, I remind you, Jesus never used them. Jesus Christ never dealt with either one of the terms. But the terms are used, well, it's the same way as the rapture. Rapture is not in the Scripture, but we use it as a term of the second coming of Christ and the taking up of the church, which the word for taking up is rapture. So we use it that way. Now, election is the gracious and free act of God by which he calls those who become part of his kingdom and special beneficiaries of his love and blessings. Election characterizes God's saving activity. Now, before we get in any deeper on this tonight, again, I want you to pay attention. When you're talking about the elect of God, which we are, all Christians are the elect of God. We are God's own people. Now, you will read it throughout Scripture that God does not show favoritism. You were talking about, but when you see that, I want you to remember something. God does not show favoritism in how you get saved. Salvation is of Christ, no one else. There's no favoritism because you believe in an idol or you believe in a God other than the God of the universe. Then God does not share with everyone that, okay, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. He does not show partiality from the standpoint of, but I'm a king and I say we can get to heaven this way. You got that? Throughout Scripture, though, you will see God showing partiality to his children, Israel. You would see him throughout history. You will see where God, those who are following him, that he is partial to. So when we're talking about God is not partial to Christians, yes, he is. As a matter of fact, we are adopted by God. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me. Listen to Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, here's the choosing part. This is the choosing of the elect. Again, the way that it is taught a lot of times now in our generation, election, they say, is from before you are born. Well, okay, let me give them that. But election is from the mind of God. And how God can have an elect or the predestination of the elect, and how he also gives us the freedom of choice, which he does, that still remains in the mind of God. That is an action by God that you and I will never understand. But we know enough to know that Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Jesus never told any of us to go out in the hedges and the byways, and I want you to teach to the ones only that I will sign with a mark on their head and you teach to them because the rest of them are going to hell. It is whosoever will, let him come. Now, so therefore we realize that God is all-powerful with the power of election and with the power of choosing. But we are given that opportunity to choose him or reject him. Go to.
So, Brother Larry, when you're talking about God and being the partiality,
yes.
Does God show partiality between Christians or just from the Christian and the unbeliever?
The partiality part that I'm talking about really doesn't deal with, like, if we get into little arguments about this or that, or even with us and Calvinism or whatever. A person that is Calvinist believes in that way could very well be a Christian just like we are. So that stuff, that's the reason I don't like it getting out in these type of battles that we see going on within the church. I'm to reach out, you're to reach out to the lost and dying world. He shows partiality to his family. Okay, now it's not the kind of partiality that we're going to show to somebody. Okay, that, you know, well, I like this personality better, so I'm going to be a little more partial, especially if that child belongs to me. I'm a little more partial, you know, or something like that. Well, what he is doing is this. The partiality is, once you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you're his. So anything that comes against you comes against God. Any hurt or pain that's going to be thrown at you is thrown at God. So therefore, God is partial to you because you have accepted his son and he says, I will protect you. He does not give that protection to the one who does not believe. There's a big difference between an individual who's accepted Christ and standing for Christ. Would it not be partiality shown to the Jewish nation to send the hornet? Remember? You know, how many other nations ever got a hornet to go out and fight the battles for them? Think of that. So that's the way that I'm talking about partiality, not where Christians quabble and all of this over nothing.
But if that's sin, God shows more favor to me than he does Randy. God doesn't do that.
If that were true, then you would have been checking his head instead of him checking yours. Dolores, you have a question.
Well, I don't know how to really put this, but yesterday I noticed I was listening to someone of a different nationality share their faith with people who were asking about it, you know, and they were speaking about Buddhism and what it was like and what they believed in and stuff like that. And in my mind, I thought, well, you know, maybe that's why they're such good people. And, you know, and in the moment, it was like the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, see, this is how Satan fools the world. He fools them, and these are good people because they believe in this faith, and their faith keeps them good. And it's like this election thing. You don't have to worry about anything as long as you're good. You don't have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. His battle has already been won. Satan's battle has been won. This is how he wins the world over.
Well,
by teaching them, oh, be good. You know, you don't have to accept anything. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Hindu. You can be all these things.
For one thing, the battle has already been won.
Yes.
It's already been won by Christ. You didn't happen to be in Louisville this weekend with the Dalai Lama, were you?
No, I wasn't. No, but that's...
Was it today? Matter of fact, I didn't see you in church today.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember, folks, anytime you're talking with someone and you hear other people that are there and sharing their belief, you're a Christian. And when someone asks you, why should I believe what you tell me, I've got 10 others over here telling me something different. Why should I believe you? Your statement to them should always be, I'm not telling you to believe me or asking you to believe me. You believe your heart. Now, you see, when an individual is truly searching, then an individual is under conviction by the Holy Spirit. When you're truly searching for Christ, it is the Holy Spirit of God that is bringing you under conviction. So if you try to convince them up here in the head, just think, they might not be anything in there to convince. You got what I mean? Okay, and when you're doing that, but God then, as the Holy Spirit is convicting in the heart, tell them to listen to God. listen to their heart instead of to... And go ahead.
What you believe is the Bible. The Bible does not lie.
That's correct. And you would be surprised how many people will say, well, you know, I read the Bible all the time, and I've said yes to Jesus Christ. We still got Christians that are arguing with God's Word. Mm-hmm. The irony of that is some get angry about the grace that God gives so many people, all of us. They get angry because God gave grace to Randy, and I didn't feel like I got as much as Randy got. And that's what we're dealing with within so many Christian denominations now. Let me back up on this because I want you to understand this. Because a young lady that was here this morning, and I was talking to her, and she talked to me on the phone first as she was coming, but she said, I come from a Catholic background, and I don't know that I'll know how to act. And she came in, Mary Smith walked her in, and I said, you can act like Mary Smith. She's late for every service. So you, so she was fine in coming and all, but here's where I believe, really messing up. When I ask someone, are you a Christian? And when somebody asks you, are you a Christian, and you're a Christian, say yes. Please don't say, I'm Baptist. The question was, are you a Christian? Well, I'm Catholic. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Woo! You know, we got Baptists that go, woo, and all of this. But, you know, they bring in a denomination, a Christian denomination. Folks, Christianity is separate from all denominations. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. Now, I feel led of God to follow through with that personal relationship, and I'm called by God to go through as the Southern Baptist or as a Baptist. Why? I don't have any idea. Because I was truly open. I didn't care when God called me to preach. I didn't care what church or denomination. As long as it was Christian, I was ready to go, and I wanted God to show me. And you Baptists got stuck with me. But I really was that sincere in it to do that. Oh, gosh.
To prove that point, he just said one time he served at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church at Magnolia for 3 months as interim pastor.
Yeah, I did. And they said I could become their pastor if I would change over to become a Cumberland Presbyterian. Yeah, and all that is such as Methodist. You know, people talk about, well, the Methodists, and we joke about this all the time. The only difference you're going to find in the churches, the Christian churches, is the methodology of that church. It's the structure. Do you have elders? Do you have deacons? Do you have the new thing now, our ministry team concept? How are you set up to follow God's word? And then individuals get associated with the denomination where they feel comfortable and they can share Christ. But don't get tied up in a denomination. You get messed up with a denomination where that's all powerful to you, then you have an idol. Denominationalism can become idolatry, just like anything else can be. If you start, let's say, on the Bible, you take the God's word, you're reading it all the time, and then all of a sudden you start protecting that book. And I know, don't any of you get me wrong on this, but listen to it. You know, and then the Bible, the book, becomes your God. The book, I can't find it in your Bible. I got to have my Bible. I can't do it. No, I've got to have my. And then people go completely crazy. I saw a man the other day. He had God's holy word and he's standing on it and stomping it out. I just wanted to go right over there, and I thought that would really done it. Yeah, he'd, lay one upside his head for Jesus. See if that works. But you see, you get tied up into this stuff. Now, it's different if they come to give my Bible and start stomping it, you know. But if it's their Bible, they can do anything just like the American flag. Okay, but the big battles going on today, I think, are bad for us and for the winning lost people, because people would like to go to church where the griping and gossiping and all of that is curtailed. You never eliminate it, but you can curtail it. And they just would like to go worship in peace. And when you get into all of these type of things with the lost world, they'll say, look, I can fight at home. I don't need to come to church. Well, Christians fight at home too, but they still come to church. Okay. The Bible describes the concept of election in three distinct ways. And here's where I want us to look. First of all, the election of Israel and the church. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. Now, are you getting that? A special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. Again, learn a little background on this. Learn a little background on the Word of God when you're reading it. Understand the culture in which it's coming from, the time period, the culture of that particular people where you're seeing the word read. So you're talking about a God that looks at Israel who, again, these were renegades. These people had no, they were no nation. They weren't even a people, God says. You are not even a people. And he took the nomads, he took the riffraff that was on the face of the earth and said, now I will become your God. You will be my people. And when they were chosen by God, they were chosen, why? Because they were excluded from the rest of society almost itself. No, everyone else, every nation had excluded them. So God said, I will make you a nation. And you remember what they did? God made them a powerful nation. He had given them everything. He made sure they had plenty. I mean, he was giving them a promised land. He was doing all of this for them. And what do they stand up and say? Give us a king so that we can be like all the other nations. Yep. And we still got the kings. And I don't care who it is. You'll see that when people put trust in people instead of God, then you'll have a king. I've got a king. And I will worship under one monarchy, folks. And that monarch is Jesus Christ. One day, Jesus is coming back. He is going to establish his kingdom on earth and fulfill what he said that he would do in coming back to earth. And that he was going to fulfill the office of David that was started. And he will reign with man for 1,000 years. Speak, boy.
I have a king, and I call him Daddy.
You have, say it again.
I have a king, and I call him Daddy.
That's a transliteration of the guy. Now, he was not talking about the colonel. Okay. not that Daddy. Yeah. When God searches the heart of man, he always reached down to the heart that was broken. Have you noticed that? Whether it's in Ruth, whether Naomi, look how God checks out the broken heart and comes in and mends that broken heart. And he says, you're mine. Again, we're talking about the elect of God. God elected Israel and he elected the church. Israel was the first step of the church as you know of today, because Israel was to proclaim, the king is coming, the king is coming. The Hebrew nation was supposed to be telling everybody. Well, where did they go wrong, Brother Randy? Do you remember?
Sure.
There I go. Oh, Mama, a little bit more work next time, okay? So he chose his people, and then his people went wrong because they would not take the message, right? Yes, they did. They refused. Look, God, I know you love us, and we're your special people. But now you're telling us to include people like this into the kingdom? You're talking about accepting Gentiles. And we're vile. Anybody that wasn't a Jew was a Gentile. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. And God said, yeah. Notice again, they surely forgot where they came from. Have you noticed that sometimes you tell your kids or anything, don't get too big for your britches? You know, no, be careful, because you can become so highfalutin, something that you'll have. My mother always has a great one, is a bird never flew so high, didn't have to come down light. I don't know who she tells that to, but I remember that one growing up. And what it is, it's a focus of that you have to be careful because of, you'll get caught up in yourself. Okay, let me do it. You get caught up in yourself and your relationship with Christ to the point that you don't care whether anybody else has a relationship or not. Oh, look, I'm saved. My kids are saved. We're all going to heaven. So I'm happy. Well, God's not happy. There's an elect of God that is going to be focused on by the Holy Spirit until Christ comes again. And then, according to Scripture, during that millennial period of time, he will still be at work saving souls. So you and I need to remember the elect of God does not give us the right to exclude anyone else. The right or the charge that is given us is not to be exclusive, but inclusive, but only through Christ. What you'll do is fall into what happened in Church of Corinth in the first century churches. Everything was going fine, after Pentecost, everybody's loving each other and jumping over the pews and doing all of this kind of stuff, and everybody's great, people giving of what they have and all. The feel-good part of salvation was there. And then they start building the body of Christ, which was the church. And the Apostle Paul kept having to go and fuss at Christians inside and out. Why? Because they were bringing the rules of idolatry into the church. Is that not happening today? Does that not happen in every generation? If the idolaters can get one foot in the door with changing one little thing, then they're going to hang in there and change one little thing. Change one little thing a week, you've changed 52 things in a year. Okay. Number two, election of specific individuals for specific tasks. Now, God said, whosoever will, let him come. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever. But then, after I have accepted Christ, that is not a point where I sit down and say, I'm going to heaven, that's it. That's the point in your life to where you get into prayer. You allow your heart to be lifted above your mind, and you listen to the Word of God through your spirit, and not through trying to think things through. Well, let me get this thing thought through. How in the world are you going to get salvation thought through? We don't even know what kind of toothpaste anymore to get. Or mouthwash. You use any mouthwash you want to. Just make sure it doesn't have any kind of alcohol in it, because that's not good for you. So, well, I'll go down the store and I keep reading everything. Do you know that much stuff has alcohol in it? It's just not NyQuil either. Okay, here we go. Such as Saul, his name was changed to Paul. Acts 9, verses 15, 16. But the Lord said to him, go. Okay, this is when Saul, his name is changed to Paul. He's down on a street called Straight Street. On that street, he's going into the Holy Spirit contacts Ananias, who lives down there, and he says, now, I'm going to send this guy to you. His name is Saul, but it's not going to be long. I'm changing it to Paul. And then this is where that conversation goes on, where Ananias says, Lord, do you really know who he is? And I love that one every time I hear it with him. And God says, yeah, I think I might know who he is. Now, here's what here's his answer he's giving then to Ananias. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now, listen to verse 16. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay. You remember, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. He is a chosen vessel of mine. Now, Paul did not know that he is a chosen vessel. He had not come to his realization yet. The next section I will get into is how we got the Bible. You will find that out of 1,600 years of the writing, and we have no idea how many people were involved in the writing over 1,600 years. And none of them knew they were writing the Bible. Now, that's the power of the Scripture. Over 1,600 years, it reads like a novel, right? You have peasants, I'll get on that one then. But I want you to think of it that way. Remember within your mind that people who are doing the greatest for God do not realize that they are copying or writing the Bible. They do not realize that they're called to a great task. They're just doing it. Got it? I mean, that's Nike of the New Testament church. Just do it. If it's an idea, when God touches your heart, you just do it. But, you know, what's going to come afterwards? What does it matter? That's not your concern. My concern is, on a daily basis, to do the calling God has called me to do. Because I am an elect of God, just like you, Christian, are an elect of God. Well, if God tells us that we're his elect, don't you think he elected us to do something? That the election of Christians is for us to be about our Father's business. Well, what is, you know, I just can't do what you do. Well, I can't do what you do. And the reason that we can't do what each other does is simple. We're not supposed to. They don't need another Billy Graham, right? One, God bless him. The IRS hit him too, I noticed. Gosh. But he's the elect of God. I suggest they better back off there real quick. Okay, he is a chosen vessel of mine, but here's the punchline. You get this down right in your heart over there, son, because I guarantee you will see it. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, remember in that scripture, he's not saying that you're going to suffer it on behalf of me. Jesus didn't say, Randy, you're going to suffer on behalf of me. No. What he's saying is, Randy, if you live for me, my name is part of your name. Therefore, you'll suffer because of my name's sake. That's the individual stands up and says, I'm Christian. Dolores does a whole lot of reading. A lot of stuff's junk, but she does some good reading also. And a lot of the stories from overseas. And I know when she starts to talk to me about them and all, she starts crying and she gets angry also. You're talking about individuals outside the United States of America that if they speak the name Jesus can be beheaded. No matter what they do, they'll kill their whole family if they speak the name Jesus. And yet they do it anyway. Look at the American preacher that is, where is he? In Iran? Iran, yeah. And being held, why he preached Christ. It's really something. Go ahead, son.
The name of Jesus sure does cause a whole lot of ruckus for it not having any power.
And that's the key. And the reason, though, think of it this way. It's easier for you and I. See, God looks at us and says, are you going to take the easy route or are you going to take my route? The route that God always calls us on is going to be laden with difficulties. Why? I am not to get so comfortable here on earth that I think it's my home, because it ain't. The reason I can't get comfortable on earth that I'm so uncomfortable is because I'm not home yet. So the Lord says, now if you get comfortable, what will you do? You will quit preaching. You will quit teaching because you're all snug as a bug in a rug. You know, you're too comfortable. And don't get too comfortable. And let me say this in a secular manner. Don't get too comfortable with Jesus, that you use him as a slang word. Oh, don't do that. Don't get so come. You know, you sometimes I listen to some of these folk when tragedy happens in their town. And I don't know whether it always happens in Podunk somewhere or not. But the people they choose to get on the TV, you know, it reminds me of, what's his name? Yeah, I saw her. You know, the streak, remember that? And it reminds me of that. It's just, you know, they ask them a question, and you're thinking, oh, honey, it would have been better if you'd went on to that way you're answering that. Pay attention. When you're walking on the hard path and you're following Jesus, it is not you speaking. You got it? Jesus says, now, Larry, if they're going to lock you up, they're going to do something, don't you plan what you're going to say. Don't you sit around and start thinking about it. You lift my name up. I know that you're in trouble, and I'll give you what to say when you get there. Now, let me tell you, folks, that makes me plenty uncomfortable. And that has certainly happened in my life in several occasions. But I'm...
I totally disagree with him on that. I think that those people speak from their heart. They don't speak intellect. And the guy that you just spoke of, that's probably the most exciting, best thing that ever happened to that man. He felt like a part of saving that girl's life. And I know he just overreacted, but he was just so excited that he was a part of that young girl's being captured.
Oh, do you think that was not son who I was talking about? He became a star on the internet, didn't he?
But
he was cool. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
He and I would have got along fine. No, what I'm talking about on that is when they go up to ask somebody and they will use God's name and they will, you know, and all of this. Well, you know, it didn't happen to me because you know, I'm a Christian, or God watched after me. Well, would you praise God if you looked around in your home and everything was gone and still praise God? That's the difference. When you praise God during all the turmoil of life, and then but just in the good times, and you'll see that a lot of times with folk. You know, yeah, God delivered us. Well, would you have been so excited about Christ had you not been delivered? So that's the key. Now, that guy was overnight internet sensation, wasn't he? He told me, I saw that girl in there, and I kicked open. And I loved the part when he said, it's a cheap screen door. Cheap aluminum. So I just kicked it in on the little girl that he rescued. Okay, number three. The election of individuals to be children of God and heirs of salvation. I read all the way to verse 16 on the last one too now. He must suffer in my seat. Yep. Okay, that deals in the namesake of Jesus. Whatever you do, when you use Jesus and you use his word, I guarantee you that's when they're going to attack you. But it's a badge of honor for you to hold. Elect of individuals to be children of God and heirs of salvation. Now, Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, there's where the battle lines are also drawn. You see right there, this says it is God who does it. You and I, as free will Christians, I do not deny at all. As a matter of fact, I lift up knowing that God is sovereign. He can do what he will. But he has chosen to give man the free will. That was his choice to do. And for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, God says, I'll not do anything that'll hurt you, but everything that I do for you will only help you. Look at Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You see, that's another one that is used. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, the good pleasure of his will was to the greatest of his creation, the human race. And it pleased God that he would offer his son to pay the sin debt on our behalf. That was his good pleasure to do. But it does not eliminate whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It does not eliminate my free will to say yes to Jesus. He's just saying, I knew you were going to do it before the foundation of the earth. That's never a point that where, well, if God is sovereign, he should have known who's going to be saved. He does. He does. But you and I don't. He knows who will be saved, and he says everyone that comes through to be adopted as sons by Jesus to himself. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, when I said yes to Jesus, then I was adopted to be his son. When he talks about such as in the Lord's Supper, for as many who will let them come, it is always talking about the freedom the blood which is shed for many. He does not say that blood is shed for everybody. He doesn't. He says for them, for many. What is it talking about? The whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, for the whosoever will let him come. Those are the ones whom he died for. That's the one that the blood of Christ will be a blessing to. But will it not be a stumbling block for those who do not come? Is not the church today the stumbling block to a generation that has launched out a full attack against the church, Christianity? And during that attack, why is there such an attack? Because the stone that is the cornerstone has been a cornerstone for us, but it is a stumbling block to the world, because they want to be God. And as a Christian, you and I are individuals who say, there's only room for one God, and I'm his child. That in itself, does that not make them furious with you? Oh, you Christians, you think you know everything. No, but I do know the one who does know everything. And what God tells you and me to do, this is hard, folks, is to love. Because to say it like Jesus did, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. The world, people who have not experienced or accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, do not know what they're doing, folks. It's the blind leading the blind, and everybody's falling in a ditch. But it should be an exciting part for Christians to know, and for even the lost world, if they start paying attention, why are all of these groups attacking the Christians? Must be something there. Then they will want to visit a church. When they visit that church, they don't want to see what's going on out there in their world. They want to see something different. They don't want to hear the song that was in their world. They want to hear a new song. They want to hear a song of blessing for their soul. They want that new touch that only Christ can give, and they don't even know his name. Now that's the power that the church is to have within a community. We love folks. There is no one, no one who wants to come to this church and act right and worship without causing trouble or harm to anybody. They're free to come. But don't come to this, and if you're going to try to harm my senior citizens or a child, that ain't going to work. Okay.
So the ones in between are okay?
Yeah. Mitch is okay. He's doing fine over there. Chose him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons, meaning he knew that we were adopted as predestined. Whoever says yes to Jesus Christ, Christian. Right, Brother Randy?
That's right.
Ah, he's coming up. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, that again is the predestined part, or the preparation, pre-preparation. That is that God knows every personality. And in that personality, if you then, Larry Pete, now look, now this is the life that I have laid out for you when you're to follow me. When Larry Pete is following Christ in my calling, then he continues to lay down the stones that I'm to step on his path. We are doing at that time exactly what he has called us to do, and we don't have any idea half the time what we're doing. You know what I mean on that? Folks, I have, within the last few years, I have been in a pulpit enough times to know that I'm getting ready to preach what I have there and for it to go blank. A few times when I was determined that I was going to go through my outline, I lost my peripheral vision. And you know those little black dots go around. Don't mess with the Holy Spirit when he's telling you to preach something. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
How many times have you got up there to preach what you have already wrote out, but you look and you see somebody in the
it changes. Yeah.
Yes. And all of a sudden you forget all about what you were going to, and you're preaching to that one person, and they get it.
Yeah, and that's interesting because some on the radio will say that. And I think, I didn't even know I said that. So you let the Holy Spirit take charge. He's quite capable of handling us. You do know that, don't you? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, we walk in good works. The bad works we do, they didn't come from God, so don't start saying that. You know, well, I knew that God had told me to go do this because I know that God told me, Chaplain Vance, to go down there at that bar and get drunk because that's the only way I was going to lead the other drunks to Christ is me be drunk with them. And then you realize, I don't think so. I don't remember that in Scripture. Romans 9:15-16. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. See, that's the salvation picture. When I totally give my heart to Jesus Christ, I said, Lord, I cannot run this race. I haven't the slightest idea of what I am doing. And then you will have the power, Mitch. Then you will have that power which is powered by Christ to be able to follow him. But you can't do it if you think that you know everything.
Okay, now these verses.
Yes, ma'am.
Those verses you just read are exactly the same verses that these election people use too.
Yes.
But you know why they're so confused? Because it always talks about God's goodwill, God's mercies, you know, God this. Don't they get it that God is in control anyway, no matter what?
Well,
but we have a choice.
I think what you said right off the bat was the answer. We get confused. Many good Christian, people who are wanting to do it right, get confused, and preachers, theologians in the seminaries and all, get people confused with it. And we need not be confused. Our brothers and sisters that are Calvinists who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior are going to be in the same heaven you and I are going to be in. Now, many want to see it as, and I'm sorry about this, but this is a fact. Many individuals want to see themselves and portray themselves as being, God chose me over you. And I see that a lot today. Well, don't you think that I know more than you do? Well, your answer to them, I know what you all say, but the answer to them is, no, I know you don't know what to tell me that I need to do. Every one of us realize that our Christianity is independent from anybody else's. Same Christ, but you and I have a different calling with that call that God has given us, folks. Each one of us. That's what makes the church work. It's everybody taking the part and following the Lord. But in election, and in the confusion that is going around right now, you know good and well that the confusion is not of God, because he's not the author of confusion. So therefore, we know that it comes of men. But I'm very slow to react to condemn the men who are doing it, simply because I just believe they totally are confused. Now, you do have some renegades. You have some who are going to look out for number one, and they just want to have power over everybody else. Again, that wouldn't work in this church, but it does work sometimes. Because people, what did they want? Let's go back to Egypt. You be a slave to someone else, therefore my salvation depends on what that particular church tells me I need to do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Westboro. That's the ones that pick at all the funerals and all of that stuff. You know, I don't know why they had to be called Baptist. They could have been Methodist, Presbyterian, anything, but no, it's got to be Baptist on that. Yeah. Well, and there again, there's where you have individuals that are edifying self there. Okay. Many people without spiritual understanding have accused God of being unfair because of this. Okay, here we go. Romans 9, 19 through 24. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? That's where they get that also on the election or predestination. What if God, wanting to show his wrath to make his power known, and endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Now look at it closely. Let me read it again to you. That he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Vessels of wrath prepared for destruction were the vessels that God had long suffering, or had held on, showed mercy time and time and time again. It does not say that they didn't have a choice. That God endured with much long suffering, God did, the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. The one who says yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that individual is saved. The one who rejects Christ, and God says, I was long-suffering with that individual. Time and time and time again, I showed him in his heart, but he rejected me. Those who reject Christ are the wrath prepared for destruction. It was not the individual by name. It was the action. God says, look, I give you my son. I give you the love. I give you my Holy Spirit to walk down that aisle with you. And yet, they accuse God of being wrong. He wronged them because God knew who the vessels were. Yeah, he did. Whoever does not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But don't preachers like me and all the other preachers reach out to whosoever will let them come? Is that not the long-suffering that God is talking about? And yet they charge God foolishly by saying that, well, you see, they're just predestined to die. Excuse me, Randy, I got a little carried away there. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. The vessels of mercy are anyone who accepts mercy. Whosoever accepts mercy, you're the vessel of mercy. You got it? Which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Who had he prepared? The vessels of mercy, of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Okay. God said, I give you mercy, Larry. I give you grace. Will you accept it? Yep. Like them both. All the mercy and all the grace that I can get. Okay. Then he had prepared beforehand for glory. He prepared a way to heaven before time began. And that way to heaven is Jesus Christ, folks. It is in the name of who Jesus is. Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, see, but also of the Gentiles. Paul, you really stepped over the line there. I think he's getting ready to get stoned again. Think of it. But he says, it was for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come, even the Gentiles. Without election, man has no hope of salvation. Let's look at it, though, the way it is. Romans 3, 11, 12. There is none who understands. There is none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Okay. Now, some of these people are saying, I did good. I'm the elect. I did good. God says there's none that's done good. And I looked into the heart of man, and God found that there was none, that man's heart was evil continually. So all the people have said, nope, I'm chosen. I was chosen when I don't even sin anymore and all of this. As I tell you, get away from them quick, folks. None who does good, no, there's no, not one. Do you know the pressure on that, or the emphasis on no, not one? What we do that is good, because we do it as human beings, is a mess. My righteousness is as filthy rags. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. All he's trying to tell us is it is all of who Jesus is, not of who you are. And if you put more focus on yourself than you do on Jesus, the lost world is not going to be able to find the truth to where that when the Holy Spirit is talking to them, bring them in where they can hear the gospel. There was a reason to compel them to come in. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And we know that. That's why we're still sin. We're still natural. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The misreading of Scripture is because we do not read the Scripture with the heart of the Spirit of God and allow the Holy Spirit to direct us as we go through. Well, I read that Bible. I've studied it from beginning to end. I've just read it and read it and read it. Well, you need to shut up and quit reading it and start listening to it. You need to allow the Spirit. And you take that word. I can't remember my homiletics professor name, Dr. Carroll. And he says, I want you. And he was slow talking. Gosh, I thought I'd never get through that class. And he was there, but he loved the Lord. And he said, I want you to. And I'm thinking, he's going to sleep short or mull it over in your mind. And he, I miss him now. Then, you know, I'm dying laughing back there in my chair. Mull it over in your mind. Now I know what that means. God elected to send his Holy Spirit, okay? John 14:16-18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. When you receive the Holy Spirit, folks, do you see what he just said? He may abide with you forever. Once the Holy Spirit, once you've accepted him into your life, that is God, the Holy Spirit, he will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Listen to Jesus, folks. He said, look, I got you. Larry Peter, I got you covered. Lord, are you sure you got me covered? So when God tells you to go to the promised land, folks, just go. Just go, because it's embarrassing when a hornet goes before you. Election, God's choice to fulfill his will for the good of man. Now, here's the last scripture. Romans 8:28-33. Remember, it's God's choice to fulfill his will for the good of man. Nothing that God wants fulfilled in our life is going to hurt us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's the church. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. That means, count it, you're already there. You got it? Okay. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Now, he's saying, okay, you belong to me through my son Jesus. You said yes to Jesus Christ. Or in the Old Testament, you believed in the Messiah to come. You believed that the Messiah, the Savior, was coming. Same Savior, but you believed in him. Through that belief, he said, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You can't mess with it when God justifies.